Thank the Lord that He lives. Thankful for the change tonight that the Lord can make in every one of our lives. And that is why we have hope tonight. It's why the Lord can take the broken, the sinful, and He can make a new creature and completely, 100% radically transform a life. We thank God for that tonight. It's our interest in your prayers as we look into the Word of God. I would tonight that we hear a voice from beyond the grave. Eternity is real tonight. If we could hear a voice from beyond the grave tonight, would it make a difference? Would it make a difference for those of you tonight that are not saved? If you're here tonight and you are not ready to stand before the judgment seat of God, would it make a difference if we could hear the voice of someone that has passed into eternity? Would it make a difference in the decision that each and every one of us will make tonight, directly or tacitly? The Lord has given us tonight enough information to make an informed, honest decision about our eternal destiny. I believe that it would shake us up if we could hear a voice from the grave, from beyond the grave. And yet, the Lord Jesus told us in the 16th chapter of Luke that in essence, He has given us everything that we need to make a decision about our eternal destiny. If you will turn with me to the 16th chapter of Luke, may the Spirit bless His word tonight. There was a certain rich man in the 19th verse. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died. You know it's going to come to pass for each one of us tonight? When the tale of your life and the story of your life is going to come to a conclusion. But it's not the end. It's the end in this life. It came to pass that Lazarus died and was carried into Abraham's bosom. And the Jews recognized that as paradise. And he cried and said, or it said rather, it came to pass that after the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, that the rich man also died and was buried. Do you know tonight that each and every one of us are going to come to an end of this life? It does not matter what our socioeconomic status is. It doesn't matter what language we speak. It doesn't matter where we attended service. And it really doesn't matter who our great-grandma and grandpa were. Each and every one of us, it will come to pass. And we are going to pass from this life into eternity. And it said here that in hell, in Hades, in the place of departed spirits, Hades is a place of departed spirits before the final judgment of God. There is a place that we go. On one hand, there was paradise. That Lazarus, who had served the Lord in his poverty, he was taken into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man was taken into a place of departed spirits for those. It was the counterpart of paradise. And it was a place that we will read that was torment. In hell, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, there is a great gulf that exists between... There's a great gulf that's fixed, so they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come. And he said, I pray therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father. The rich man found that there was a reality to eternity. And his prayer, if you will, from a place of torment was, send Lazarus. Send him to my father's house because I've got five brothers. And I want my brothers to know that this is not a fairy tale. This is not just something that the preachers, excuse me, used to preach about. It's been, if you're politically correct, it's not preached anymore in many churches around the world anymore. Because it's not comfortable. We live in a society that it wants people to come out, but their job and what they're seeking is to make you feel comfortable. I am not interested tonight in your comfort, and I am not going to be politically correct tonight. Send Lazarus, because this is real tonight. There is such a thing as hell, and there is such a thing as torment, and there is such a thing as the mercy of God being gone. There is a place where there is no more hope. There is a place that God will not hear our prayer anymore. There is a place that we will remember what used to be and what could have been. Send Lazarus, because this is real. Testify to them that they may come, lest they also come to this place of torment. And this was Abraham's response. They have Moses, and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father, that's not good enough. If one went from the dead, they will repent. And this was Abraham's response. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. All is not well with this generation. All is not well with our society. Because if we have not repented of our sin and allowed Jesus Christ to come in and transform us, all is not well, because eternity is real. And it is of a truth tonight that each and every one of us is going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of the way that we have lived our life. And so, is it fair to ask us tonight, individually, are we ready? Are we ready for the time that we also will pass from this life? Because the reality is, when we pass from this life, our spirit is going to go to one of two places. It's going to go to paradise, or it's going to go to a place of torment where it is a jail before the final judgment. People that have been charged with a crime, they wait. There is no bail either. There is no bail from this place of departed spirits. There is no place to be prayed out of a purgatory. There is a great gulf. There is a chasm. And there is no way to pass from one to the other. There is no way that someone that is still living can baptize you, can baptize, have a baptism in your name, so you can be prayed out and escape this place of departed spirits. That is a lie that the enemy has propagated in many major religions of our world today. This is not what Jesus said. He told the rich man, do you Remember how it was for you. You see, in this passage of Scripture, Jesus did not charge the rich man with any egregious crime, did he? And do you know it's not sin to be rich either? But there is a warning for us. You will find that rich people are often not as cognizant of their neediness of a Savior in their life. And it's one of the reasons why many places, and I know Brother Tony, we've talked about this, you can go to poor areas around the world and people are much more receptive to hear the gospel. But when people live in a land of plenty, they're much more close to it. I've got it taken care of. I'm educated. I've got money in the bank. I'm doing all right. But when people begin to suffer physically and suffer temporally, there's a recognition that I need some help. And they're much more willing to do business with God about their souls. Tonight, we need to be careful because we live in a land of plenty. We are a prosperous people. We live in a prosperous generation. We need to be careful lest that blind our eyes to the reality that there is a judgment coming and there is an eternity. So Lazarus, in a sense, do you realize here when it said that Lazarus looked and fed off the crumbs of the rich man's table? In a sense, that denotes that rich man had some acts of charity. You can have my leftovers. Here's someone outside my gate. Because obviously when he got into Hades, who did he look to give him a favor? It was the one that I let eat from my table. I didn't give him the best. I didn't let him sit at my table, but I gave him the leftovers. Tonight, our deeds of charity do not allow us entrance into heaven. Our good deeds do not allow us in. People say, but they're a good person. There have been many good Jews and good Muslims and good pagans that have done a lot of good things, and they are not guaranteed entrance into paradise. We must accept Jesus Christ as the atonement of our sin because He is the only one that can allow us entrance into heaven. I am the door, Jesus said. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Which means because we came in these doors tonight, that does not allow us entrance into heaven. We say, but Lord, I worship with the church of God. The church of God is not a building. It's when Jesus Christ has washed you from your sins by His blood. That's what allows us entrance. But Lord, didn't I prophesy in Thy name? Did many mighty works and cast out devils and gave to the poor? What did Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you. So our good deeds do not allow us entrance. Now, a lack of good deeds can keep us from entering. But our good deeds will not open up the doors of heaven.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
You remember when Jesus talked about another rich man that had plans to tear down his barns and build bigger? And Jesus said, or the scripture says, thou fool. He said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It wasn't because he was rich. It was because he had neglected his soul. And I dare say when he got to eternity, when he got into that place of departed spirits, he too was calling for a Lazarus. Go back and tell my children this is real. I would tonight that you hear the voice of the rich man calling, send Lazarus. Hell is real tonight. It's a reality. We live in a materialistic world that is promoting that when we die, it's over. It's not over. It's just beginning. We were created in the image of whom? In the image of God. It's not that we look like God by our flesh, but we are created in His image in that He created us with a living, eternal soul that will never die. We did not evolve. You see, used to, it was referred to as the theory of evolution. But you know, you don't hear that as much as you used to. Do you know why? Because they want you just to accept this as factual. And if you don't accept evolution, then you are not as intellectually aware and as cognizant of the realities of science as the learned men and women of our age. That is a lie from the enemy. God created certain animals and said, create after your kind. And just as a side note, God is not limited to what do you all children learn in school. Family, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Did I get that? Okay. Who created that? Man did. God is not limited by what man does. God created certain kinds of animals, certain kinds of mammals, certain kinds of sea things, and he said, you create after your kind as I created you. But evolution is a lie of the devil. Because if we can believe that, then it takes away the responsibility that we have if we acknowledge that there is a creator. And so our world would rather say we came from nothing. And I must say tonight, if you believe that we came from nothing, you have more faith than I do. Because I believe that nothingness, if that's what you want to call it, that is God. And God created something out of nothing. That was God. But if you begin to think that there is no God, you too will stand before Him in eternity. You have a living soul, and I have a living soul. In the scripture, Jesus used parables to describe to us things that our language is limited. Our finite minds are not able to comprehend the fullness of what heaven is. That's why the scripture talks about in Revelation, heaven being, you know, the streets of gold. Is that literal? That was symbolic. Gold is valuable. And it is a symbol that has stood through all generations. If they would have written that the streets of heaven are paved with Bitcoin, there would have been a lot of generations that wouldn't have understood what he was talking about. But he used something of value that has stood the test of time, and he called it gold. It was symbolic. Just like when Jesus spoke about hell, there is symbolism in there to cause us the things that you and I know, things we can understand to represent something that is torment and horrible and painful, and there's no end to it. And that's what hell is. Lazarus in paradise. And then we find the rich man. And he found himself in a place of torment. He looked up and he saw Lazarus. Do you know what one of the torments is going to be tonight? Is being able to look, if we follow this pattern, and see those that have been faithful to God. There's mom and dad. Because there's going to be no tears in paradise in heaven. They're not going to be able to see you. You will not even be a memory. And yet, we will be able to look up from the torments of hell and be able to see what could have been. Will the circle be broken tonight? This day is coming, and I believe that it is coming soon. Remember when, he told the rich man, he said, do you remember when? I believe that there will be memories in hell. I think, this is just personal, but one of the most abhorrent, painful memories is going to be remembering sitting in services and feeling the convicting power of God and saying no. Because in hell, you can't change it. Once we breathe our last breath, there is no more hope. There is no more avenue to change the course that you have set for eternity. This is where we have opportunity tonight. And I remember times, even as a child, that I felt the convicting power of God at your seat, and you're almost trembling. I am thankful to still experience that kind of conviction. I don't want to stop experiencing that, but I want that convicting power of God to always bring me closer in my relationship with God. I don't ever want to know that those kind of experiences will be part of my experience in hell. I remember the Lord gave me an opportunity. I remember the Lord said, you need to make your peace with God. When the Lord came and said, I can deliver you from that. And I said, I want to go my own way. I'm not willing to take and accept the whole truth. I think I'll do it my way. There is going to come a reckoning tonight for all of us that are wanting to do it our way. This is why there are so many different churches and religions and fellowships. Because I want to do it my way. I want to call Christ and I want to have His name. And I want to say I'm a Christian. And maybe I'm a good person in a lot of ways. It's not enough. If we reject Christ in the entirety of His Word, we are guilty of rejecting Christ Himself. Your way will lead to hell. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? It's a ways of death. When we begin to examine our life, we need to do it in light of the Word of God tonight. You can say, well, I think, who cares what you think, and you don't care what I... Really? Because my way is not going to get you to heaven. But this way will. And if we begin to adjust and tweak and think I can do a little bit better, you better recognize eternity is coming. And we're going to give an account of where we tweaked the Word of God. Remember when? And then it said here so plainly, it said he was tormented. He was in torment. He was in flame. Has anybody here ever burned themselves? I remember a couple years ago, I had one of those big crock pots that sits in boiling water. And I went to pick it up and it sloshed and steam poured out over my hand. You know, steam, the temperature of steam. And for hours, if I took it out of the ice, I could hardly stand it. It was painful. Because I couldn't find escape for a long time. That's the analogy that Jesus was giving. I don't know what all it entails, but I know this, it's worse. This is just language Jesus was trying to communicate. People, this is bad. This is torment. This is misery. Because you rejected me. And he said, just send Lazarus. Can he just dip his finger in water and just give me a little bit of reprieve? There is no reprieve in eternity. Do you know one of the consolations that we walk away from the dealings of God is that we can say tomorrow. Tomorrow I plan to get right. I have sat with people on their deathbed that said tomorrow, and tomorrow didn't come. Because they had built up a wall and their faith was so depleted that when they were on their deathbed and I said, would you pray and accept Jesus Christ? They said, I'm not ready yet. And they went out into eternity. Those are the last words that were spoken to me. And they went out into eternity that way. Because one of these days, we are going to stand before God. But tonight, we can go on. If you have sin in your life, you can have this security in thinking God is merciful. And God is loving. And He is. That's what brought a change. That's where He gives us hope tonight. But if we shun the hope and convicting power of God, do not think that tomorrow is going to be different. It will be harder next time to say yes to the Lord. And you can go on your life and you will go further and further into sin. And the devil will get his grips more and more in you until finally one day it will come to pass. And you too will lift up your eyes, being in torment, remembering when. Scripture says in Matthew 22, it speaks about the man that came into the wedding feast without a garment. Without the wedding garment. And the Scripture says that he was bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness. He said there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Would you send Lazarus and tell my brothers that this is real? It's real tonight. This isn't a fairy tale. It's real. Desolation, loneliness, forsaken. I know that there are people tonight in this life that go through some horrible circumstances. Abuse, rejection, physical pain that bring people to a brink sometimes that they even consider taking their own life, thinking it can't get worse than this. We have a God that loves tonight, and if you are in that place, there is a Father in heaven that would like to enfold His arms of love around you and bring you back from that abyss of hopefulness. But I also want to remind you in the Spirit tonight that if you think it can't get worse, it will get worse. Because hell comes about by people that have rejected and have refused to accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus said over in Matthew 9 or Mark 9, rather, He said, if your hand offend you, what did He say to do?
Cut it off.
He said it would be better to go through life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. This is Mark 9, 43 and 44. The fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know what He was talking about? This word here, what He was talking about, hell, was not Hades. This word in the Greek is Gehenna. That is the final place that the wicked will go. Gehenna. After the judgment. This is the reason, just a little bit of theology here. This is the reason the book of Revelation, it says that death and hell, or better translated, death and Hades shall be cast into the lake of fire. There will be no more a need for a place of departed spirits, because this is the place that was created and reserved for the devil and his angels. And it is a place of darkness. It is a place of despair. It is a place where there is no escape and there is no reprieve. Gehenna was a valley outside of Jerusalem. And this was understood. Jesus was the one that said it. He was referred to this valley outside of Jerusalem, a narrow valley where the idolatrous Jews at one time offered their children as sacrifices to Moloch. They burned their children as sacrifices in Gehenna. It became a city dump. People would take their waste and throw it there. There was sewage there. There was garbage there. Dead animals would be taken to Gehenna and thrown there. The bodies of criminals would be taken and just thrown into this valley, this narrow valley there. And there was a fire that continued to burn. The bodies and the trash and the worm never died, because there was always something more to eat. And the fire was not quenched. That was Gehenna. That was the symbolism
of an eternal hell that Jesus gave to us, not in His judgment, but in His love. I want you to know what lies ahead if we reject the dealings of the Lord. How long is this going to be for? It's going to be for eternity. There will be no end. When we breathe our last breath, we are entering into eternity where there is no more end. Would that change our decisions tonight if every choice we made, we did in light of Gehenna? In light of eternity. He said over in Matthew 25 that they would go away into everlasting punishment. There's no end to it. I don't know if this message is comforting to you or not, but I hope it's not. Because this is real. It's truth. There is a chasm that cannot be crossed. The Catholics cannot pray you out. The Mormons cannot baptize you out. There cannot be a candle lit that's going to make a difference in your eternal soul. Your soul tonight, my soul, is in my hand. And you have a decision to make where you will end in your eternal destiny. Who is it that's going to go here? There are scriptures that tell us in black and white. And you know, these are some of the scriptures that some of the big name preachers in the big churches in the United States, they don't read these scriptures. I would like to read it to you. Revelation 21 verse 6, He said unto me, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. If you're thirsty tonight, the Lord will hear your prayer and He'll give you life. But He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, and that is the second death. And there is no cure to the second death tonight. The first death, the curse in the garden, was a pronouncement of physical death and spiritual death. Jesus Christ came and made a way to break the curse of both aspects of that first death. Salvation of the soul, the resurrection of the soul, and secondly, He broke the power of death through a physical resurrection. But in this last time, when we go out into eternity, it's the second death, and there's going to be no more remedy for sin at that place. No remedy of sin. Over in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Let there be no mistake tonight, because God doesn't make mistakes. If there is unrighteousness in your life and you have knowledge of Jesus Christ, He said you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Why did He say be not deceived? Because there was a reality that some people would be deceived. He said, be not deceived. He said, neither fornicators. Do you know what a fornicator is? It's someone that commits fornication. Idolaters. It's not just the golden calf. It's the idolatry of materialism. It's the idolatry of education. It is the idolatry of the entertainment world. It is the idolatry of the things that people are feeding on. The lustful things that has power in people's lives. People are giving their time and their money and their affections to. That sounds like idolatry. Where there is idolatry means that I have taken Christ from the position that He wants to be in my life, and I've lowered Him, and in its place I put something else. He said, where there is idolatry, know this. Don't be deceived. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, neither adulterers nor effeminate. Is that politically correct today? It's illegal to preach this in some countries in Europe and in Canada. It's still the word of God. And if we get to a place in our country, they say that's hate speech, then by the love of God, we will still proclaim His word, because it is His love that will change these behaviors. In one place He said, such were some of you, right here, keep reading, such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been sanctified, and you've been washed. I used to be that way, but by the blood of Jesus, I'm not anymore. Neither thieves nor covetousness, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So who's going to go? People that have rejected Jesus Christ. Do you know what the problem of so many that teach you can't live free from sin? Do you know what one of the issues of that is? The scripture says in black and white, if you do those things, you won't go to heaven. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because Jesus Christ came to deliver us from what? From sin. He came to deliver us from adultery and fornication and drunkenness and lying and cheating and idolatry. And if those things are in our life, there is power through the blood of Jesus that can transform your life. That where I used to sin, I don't anymore. But be not deceived. There is coming a day when we will stand before God, and if there is sin in our life, those moral violations that separate us from God, and we are going to live for eternity in a devil's hell where there is no escape. If you don't have on your wedding garment tonight, you may say, well, I'm not a bad person, but folks, Jesus is coming back for a pure church. He's coming back for a church that is unspotted from the world. He's coming back for a people that have turned their back on sin and give honor and reverence to the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary. And this is one other reason people ask this question, so we will address it tonight very briefly. Over in Luke in the 12th chapter, Jesus very plainly taught that there are degrees of punishment. Very plain in the scripture. In the 47th verse of Luke 12, he said, a servant that knew the will of his Lord and prepared not himself, neither did according to the will, it said he would be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Tonight, we serve a just God. We are accountable for what we know. And you may say, well, then don't be preaching like this so we can live in our ignorance. There is a place of life in Jesus Christ that the more truth and the more knowledge we have of Him, the greater peace and the greater victory and the greater joy that we can have. I don't want to deprive someone of that. And yet when people say, what about people that never heard about Jesus? God is a just God, and those without the law will be judged without the law. Those that have never heard of Jesus Christ, God will judge them differently than He judges you and me. But what is our excuse tonight? What will we plead when we stand before God? Will we plead ignorance tonight? Or do we know? Do we know? People ask the question, how can God send people to hell like that? You ever heard that question? You say, I mean, that sounds horrible, but how can a loving God serve them? Take a step back tonight and remember a God that loved us so much in our sin, in our brokenness, that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And then He looks down and sees His Son on the cross. The Lamb of God shedding His blood. Why? For our sin. And tonight we behold the Lamb of God. We behold the life that is in the blood of Jesus. And we make a decision. And we say, I will accept the atonement of the blood. And I will walk in my sin no more by the power of God. Or we deny that truth and we go on our way in our sin. We're asking the wrong question when we say, how can a loving God send people to hell? Why are people rejecting a loving God tonight when He says there is life for you? Why are we walking away from Him?
Praise the Lord.
And we say, how can He send? He didn't send anybody to hell. Hell hath enlarged herself because people are making a conscious decision. I will not accept what Jesus Christ came to bring to me. And the Lord says, I'll honor your choice, and this is going to be the consequence. The loving God tonight is saying, I want to give you life. I want to bring hope, and I want to restore you. But it's up to you. Behold the Lamb of God. There is a payday to sin. There's a price to pay. And it's loneliness, and it's darkness, and it's hopelessness. And we say that just doesn't sound right. It's not right, but it is our choice tonight. It's real. So would you send Lazarus? Would you send Lazarus and tell my brothers? And he said, they have what they need to make a decision tonight. And tonight, each one of us have what we need. So what will your choice be? God is not going to send any of us to a devil's hell. But it is our choice. But be not deceived tonight. It's not going to be good enough to be a saint's child. It's not going to be good enough to have been just a good moral person. It has to do with accepting the sacrifice of the Lamb of God and allowing Him to live and work in our life. And that is a conscious decision. Where there is sin tonight, there is a loving God that will understand you, but it was His understanding is why He sent His Son. He wants, if there's sin tonight, there's forgiveness. But if you deny that forgiveness, you are choosing to continue. And this is the end, and it's called hell, eternal torment. May we stand tonight, sing number 409. Amen.